Imagine a world where ideas don't grow like trees, with rigid trunks, hierarchical branches, and deep roots, but spread like ginger or grass, shooting in multiple directions simultaneously, connecting unexpected points. This is the radical vision of a thousand plateaus. Published in 1980 by French philosophers Gilles Deleuze and Félix Guattari, this experimental masterpiece has transcended academic boundaries to influence everything from art and architecture to politics and technology. Why has such a notoriously difficult text become so influential? Because it doesn't just describe a new way of thinking, it performs it, inviting us into an intellectual adventure that transforms how we understand reality itself. The book's conceptual vocabulary, rhizomes, becoming, deterritorialization, has permeated contemporary thought precisely because it offers tools for navigating our increasingly complex, interconnected world. These aren't just abstract philosophical concepts, but practical instruments for breaking free from rigid structures and creating new possibilities. Western thought typically relies on tree-like structures, family trees, organizational charts, taxonomies, that organize knowledge through vertical hierarchies and binary divisions. The rhizome offers a radical alternative. Unlike trees with central trunks, rhizomes spread horizontally underground, connecting multiple points without any privileged center. Consider how grass propagates or how the internet links nodes. A rhizome has no beginning or end. It exists in the middle, growing from any point and connecting to any other regardless of differences. This isn't merely metaphorical, but represents a fundamentally different approach to reality. Rhizomatic thinking operates through connection rather than division, multiplicity rather than unity. When broken, a rhizome reconstitutes along existing or new lines, similar to how cutting grass often accelerates its spread. A Thousand Plateaus embodies this approach. Its chapters or plateaus can be entered from multiple points and read in any order, connecting with reality rather than representing it. Asking not what does this mean, but what can this do? Have you ever felt trapped by rigid categories like male/female or mind-body? Deleuze and Guattari challenge these binary oppositions through multiplicities, complex entities that change nature as they expand. In their analysis of Freud's Wolfman case, they reject reducing a dream of wolves to a father figure, instead seeing a pack defined by relations of movement. The wolves represent intensities resisting reduction. Their concept of becoming isn't imitation, but establishing relations of movement between extracted particles. Becoming animal means composing with animal elements, adopting their speeds and intensities. All becomings follow a sequence from becoming woman to becoming imperceptible, each involving greater deterritorialization from fixed identities. Becoming woman dismantles the standard of man, while becoming imperceptible means reaching 0 degrees of identity. These becomings aren't metaphorical, but real, producing nothing but themselves, no new fixed identity, just the reality of becoming itself. These becomings aren't metaphorical, but creative experimentation rather than progression toward predetermined ends. What if desire creates rather than lacks? In A Thousand Plateaus, the body without organs, BWO, represents a surface of intensities before they're organized into predetermined functions. The BWO opposes not organs themselves, but the organism, the socially imposed organization structuring bodies. The BWO is desire. It is that which one desires and by which one desires. It's made through experimentation. Creating a BWO means dismantling 3 strata, the organism, physical organization, significance, regime of signs, and subjectification, subject production. This isn't destruction, but reorganization. Examples illustrate this concept. The masochist uses pain to create a BWO where pleasure flows differently. Courtly love creates a plane where desire circulates without genital fulfillment. Taoist practices cultivate energies through intensification. They caution against reckless experimentation. Moving too quickly risks an empty BWO, drained of intensity, or a cancerous BWO where one element proliferates uncontrollably. The goal is maintaining a small plot of new land at all times. This reconception has political implications. If desire produces rather than lacks, revolutionary politics becomes about creating new desires, not fulfilling existing ones. Have you noticed how power operates by giving everything a face? Faciality reveals how social control works through surfaces of inscription and points of subjectification. The face isn't just a body part, but a special surface combining two elements, the white wall, inscription surface, and black holes, subjectification points. This faciality machine produces signification and organizes differences. Faciality extends beyond actual faces. Landscapes, objects, and buildings become facialized when incorporated into this system. A house has face traits, windows as eyes, doors as mouth. Even abstract concepts acquire facial qualities within signifying regimes. Deleuze and Guattari trace faciality to Christianity, particularly Christ's face, which invented the facialization of the entire body and established a standard for all faces. While faciality creates docile subjects, liberation exists within this system. Facial tics represent traits attempting escape. Dismantling the face liberates probe heads that break through walls of significance to create new becomings. When seeing a face in advertising or politics, consider, what subject is it trying to produce? What desires is it channeling? What alternatives exist beyond this facial regime? Despite its militant name, the war machine isn't primarily about warfare, but creation, the drawing of a creative line of flight, the composition of a smooth space, and of the movement of people in that space. The war machine exists in fundamental exteriority to the state apparatus. While states operate through capture, fixing, measuring, dividing, war machines function through movement, speed, and transformation. Nomadic peoples embodied this as their existence across open terrain constituted a different relationship to space itself. State space is striated, divided, measured, allocated. Nomad space is smooth, open, continuous, defined by events rather than properties. The sea, steppe, and desert are naturally smooth spaces states struggle to control. War machines extend beyond warfare to thinking, loving, dying, or creating machines with revolutionary powers. Art, science, and philosophy can function as war machines when they create planes that escape state capture. The war machine's essence isn't war, but creative displacement. Though states can appropriate war machines, converting their creative power into destructive force. Movements like Occupy Wall Street spread through contagion rather than central organization, creating sociality that temporarily escapes state capture. How do we create safe territories amid chaos? The ritornello, refrain, concept links philosophy to everyday experience through three scenes. A child singing in darkness for comfort, someone organizing a home space, and someone venturing beyond familiar territory, representing creating a center in chaos, establishing protection, and opening to the outside. The child's song doesn't physically protect, but modulates space against chaos, where determinations appear and vanish too quickly. The ritornello establishes rhythm, creating landmarks in homogeneity. Expression transforms environment into territory when functional components become expressive markers. The expression creates the territory. The fence makes the territory, rather than marking pre-existing boundaries. Background music in cafes marks thresholds, just as humming creates personal space. Borders must remain crossable to prevent rhythm from becoming mechanical reproduction, opening lines of flight as vectors of change. These interlaced processes balance each other, creating consistency that holds heterogeneous elements together without losing their distinctiveness. Music thus becomes the art of the ritornello, organizing sound to create territories while simultaneously opening paths beyond them.